open your Bibles this morning to 1 Peter chapter 2. As you walked in this morning, you might have noticed the remnants of Palm Sunday on the church floor, little pieces of the chalk palm leaves that were left over. And as Michael and I were cleaning up all the chairs after junior youth on Wednesday night, we were a little tired, getting a little sore. We looked at all of the leaves on the floor, and I said to Michael, should we mop that up? And Michael said something that was really significant. He said, maybe we should leave them. This is why, because as Jesus went to the cross, the remnants of that praise and that celebration, those cries of Hosanna, were still lingering in the air. And I thought that is really special because of that realization that it wasn't much time between the parade and the cross. And even as today, we go into this day, and it's one of those days where it's heavy. Our Savior died. He gave his life. He died on the cross. As we reflect on the meaning of that cross, even on this day, we look forward and we realize that Sunday is coming. We're going to invite Eliza up to the front. She's going to share the text with me this morning. Our text is from 1 Peter chapter 2. And just hold up on that for a minute. I'll share my part first, and then you do verse 24. But you'll want to stand here because you're a little shorter than me. And Uncle Ronnie is right up in there, so you have to look at him too, okay? So this passage is 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's all stand together as we read God's word. Verse 22, Peter says to us that Jesus committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously.
1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore sin in his body on the tree, so that having died to sin, we might live to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed.
Amen. It goes on to say that you were like sheep going astray, each one to his own way. But now you return to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. You may be seated. Before we walk through this passage today, I just want to highlight the fact that we've asked our church family to share their testimonies. Most of you saw that email and did not respond. But some of you did, and I'm thankful for the few that did respond. We have some testimonies we'll be sharing in the coming weeks. We would love to do more of them. I know it seems daunting to share your story, but it's so important that we learn how to share our story. So we laid it out in four simple questions. What was your life like before you came to know Jesus? How did you come to trust in Jesus Christ? And then what difference has Christ made in your life? And what does it mean to you that Jesus is alive today? Those are good questions. And as you look at those questions, though, and as you look at your testimony, what you're going to realize is this, that all Christian testimonies have one thing in common. And that one thing is connected to this day. You see, before I knew Christ, before Jesus came into my life, before Jesus changed me, this is how I was. But now, because of this day, because of Good Friday, that's why we call it Good Friday. Seems like an odd name for a day in which we remember the death of our Savior. But it is good because of this day, we can say, but now. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were dead, you once who were lost, you were children of disobedience, have been brought into the family of God. You are now children of light. and you have light and life through Jesus Christ. And so through this passage today, we're going to look at his death. Through his death, you died. We're going to look at his life. Through his life, you live. And we're going to look at the fact that Jesus Christ is the shepherd and he is the overseer of our souls. But the passage starts off by saying that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree. Notice it doesn't say Jesus just bore sin. No, he bore our sins. He bore your sins on that tree. It's personal. But also notice the odd language. What is this about a tree? We look at it, we say it's a cross, and yes, a cross comes from a tree, but what's this tree talk? This tree talk is something that is connected to something called the curse. There's a lot of these connections in the Bible. Rich Bosch pointed one out this morning to me in that the crown of thorns placed on the head of Jesus Christ had great significance. You see, that crown of thorns was symbolic of something. Do you remember what happened in the garden when the ground was cursed and thorns and thistles came up from the garden? How many of you are happy one day when there's no more thorns and thistles? Walking through the bush the other day, just get snagged. The red ones. The red ones are just, they will grab onto you and they grab, they hold, they rip, they tear. And it's really, really painful. And yet that is nothing compared to what our Jesus suffered. When they took that crown of thorns, it's believed it was like a whole dome of thorns, not just a nice little wreath, but it was pressed down and punctured into his head. The toxins from those thorns would have just punctured into his head, mixed with the sweat and mixed with all of the spit of those who spit on our Savior. Jesus Christ suffered immensely on the cross. But that crown of thorns also told us that on the cross, Jesus Christ overcame the curse. You see, it was the tree that Jesus was hung on. You know, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, it talks about the fact that if somebody did a capital crime, one that had a capital punishment attached to it, and therefore they faced death, oftentimes, and this was tradition in those times as well, they would take the body and they would hang the body on a pole or on a tree. It doesn't matter whether it was a pole, a cross, or a tree in regard to. The main thing was it was a tree. Because the Bible says, cursed is every man who hangs on a tree. Why? Because it's showing that it was the judgment of God because of a sin that was a capital punishment, therefore that put that person in that place of shame. And here is the beautiful thing, that Jesus took your punishment and your shame, and he hung on the tree. He became a curse. This is why 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says that there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus stands between man. He stands between you and God, and he does this thing called mediation. He mediates. He's the mediator. He's not mediating by negotiating, but rather he mediates by sacrifice. He sacrifices himself. He gives up his own life to make it so that you are reconciled with God. And this happens when you put your trust in him as Savior. And this is where Isaiah's picture comes in. I love that Amanda read that this morning, that we as sheep has gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. You see, this is the first part of every Christian's story, isn't it? I was lost. I was under the curse. I was far from God. I was separated from God. This is who I was. I was guilty. I was under judgment. I was wandering. But through Jesus on the cross, through his sacrifice, he died and I died with him. His death was my death, and therefore, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. He says, so that we might die to sins. In other words, Jesus didn't die just to pay for you, for all of your sins so that you don't have to face the consequences of sins. He died so that you could die to sin as well, so that the dominion and the power of sin could be broken over your life and that you may now live to righteousness. You see, the fact that he lives also means that you live because Christ lives in you. You see, when he died on the cross, he took the death certificate, your name was on it, Jesus signed it, and therefore you are connected to his death so that you can be connected to his life. But to be honest, we come here today into our Good Friday service. Many people come in with guilt and shame. You come into a place of worship, and sometimes you have this feeling, if only people knew how messed up I am. I know most of you can relate to that. If only people really knew what I think some days. If only people knew that I still struggle with those desires. If only people knew, and you hang your head in shame. But here's what you need to realize. Sin is no longer your master. Therefore, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus your Lord. You no longer were who you were. Galatians 5:1 says it this way. I love the NIV version. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. It was so that you could be free that he set you free. I mean, it just makes sense. He didn't set you free so you could continue walking in bondage. He gave you liberty so that you could walk in freedom, no longer to be burdened by a yoke of slavery. Peter says that Jesus bore our sins so that we might live for righteousness. And that's the part of your testimony, that now your life, it looks different. Amen? You're a new creation. All things have become new. Galatians says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You have new life. I told you guys before the story of my expensive camcorder and my 3-year warranty I got from Best Buy many years ago. $1,800 on my camcorder. And so you want to buy a $300 warranty to protect your investment? And I was like, yes, I do. You know, I figured, they said, even if you drop it, you throw it out the window, whatever, it doesn't matter. If this thing dies, we're going to give you a new one. And if on the third time that it dies, we're going to give you the newest model if the old model no longer is manufactured. And so I said, well, how could I go wrong? And so I got the camcorder, and the little strip on the top just died on me in my first year. And so I took it back, and they gave me the same model. Second year, the little strip dies on the top. I didn't drop it. I didn't throw it out the window. It just died after 1 year. This thing's defective. This model is garbage. In the third year, my final year, the strip died. This is the third time. And I remember those words. If the original model does not exist, we will give you the new version. And I went on the last day of the warranty, just hoping that that old model does not exist anymore, hoping I could just get this new version for my $300 warranty. All I wanted was a working camera that I paid $1,800 plus $300 for. And so I took it back in. Now, I don't know why the guy said it like this. He was a jerk. He's like, you're in luck. We have one left. On the last day, I got one more piece of garbage. You see, you don't need to turn over a new leaf in your life. You don't need a new start. You don't need a fresh start. You don't need just to wipe your slate clean. You know what you need? You need a new life. You see, we were all messed up in Adam and Eve. You were brought forth and in sin and in iniquity and in sin, your mother conceived you, is what David says in Psalm 51. You were born into this. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need a new life, and that is what Jesus Christ has done for you. He has given you new life. He has made you a new creation when you put your trust in what he did on this cross. But he doesn't just leave you there. Here's the beautiful thing. He is the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Jesus Christ saw you wandering away. He went after you. Jesus, the shepherd, goes after the sheep. But here's the beautiful thing, is as a shepherd, the wandering sheep deserved punishment, but the shepherd took the punishment. He took your stripes. By his stripes, you are healed. Now I know that many people look at that and they think, that means that we don't walk in sickness, hallelujah. You know, your faith healing, you know, believing people who got the same cold I got, right? I do believe that God can heal, but I don't think that this passage is talking about walking in divine health. I'm sorry, Kenneth Copeland. This passage is talking about the fact that by his stripes, the sin that worked so much damage in my life, the sin that separated me from God, the sin that caused me to walk in defeat and shame and guilt, the stripes of Jesus Christ that he took on him on that cross, those stripes and the sins that he bared on my behalf has made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am healed. Hallelujah. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the shepherd, that great shepherd of the sheep, he now guides me. He is the overseer. He is looking out over his church. Not only did he mediate by laying down his life, but he mediates in the sense that now he intercedes on our behalf. What a beautiful Savior that we serve. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we praise you that you are the soon coming King. And I ask that those who are coming into Easter this year, feeling any defeat, anything that's tearing them down, that they would be reminded that Jesus, you have given us life and life abundantly, that you have caused us to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. And that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, help us to live for you. When situations look desperate, when times are difficult, to see that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in us. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.